If you've got a copy of God's Word, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. We are working through this New Testament letter written to believers, talking about the journey of faith. We are sojourners. We're pilgrims. We're looking for that promised land. We're not there yet. He tells us some helpful pieces of advice to get us there on our journey. It's all about loving life and seeing good days. In chapter 3, it dealt with wives and how they ought to live, dealt with husbands. 2 weeks ago, the application was for everyone what to possess. And the piece of scripture we're going to look at today, Peter is quoting from Psalm 34, so we'll refer back to that several times. How to love life and see good days. So let's go to the text, 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start in verse number 10. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the difference in the lives of believers. Verses 8 and 9 qualified that. But today, I don't want to talk about the difference in believers. I want to talk about the direction for the lives of believers. You see, it's not just a difference, it's the direction, it's your purpose in life about how to love life, how to see good days. That's direction, that's purpose. Let me bring you to Psalm 34, verse 12. Peter, the way he phrases it in the New Testament, is not precisely the same in verse 12, what he is actually quoting, but it's a question. Psalm 34, verse 12. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Peter smooths that out, but I want to propose that to you as a question. The question of what person, the question of who. And let me go ahead and answer that for you. It's for the follower of the Lord Jesus. That's who. So who wants us to love life? Who wants to see good days? Us. We do. But let me explain it just a little bit more. This is about the direction of your life. It's not about loving life and seeing good days, acclimating possessions to yourself. It's not about what can I gain, what do I get out of this. It's who do you know, or how close are you to God. That's where the true blessings of life are, not in how much you have, but in who you know. Peter, in this chapter, these few verses we're reading, he gives us indicators we're on the right track. So we talk about direction and purpose. Let's talk about some indicators, some trail markers, some signs that say I'm going the right direction. Let's go back to verse 10 of chapter 3. For whoever desires to love life, to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So what's the first indicator you're on the right track? Well, the first point is to guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. So keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. And you may say, well, Pastor, you're taking all the fun out of life right away, first point. I'm sorry, we have to guard our mouth. We have to look at our speech. So we cannot have evil in our communication. And we can't be spewing forth deceit. The world has enough of that. We believers don't need to participate. Instead, the Christian should be known for honesty and wholesome speech. When people think of us as sojourners of the faith, the way we talk, the way we communicate is different from the world. In the previous community we lived in, we had a group of older ladies. Some were in our church, some were in other churches. They loved to gossip. I'm talking about love to gossip. Now, they never admitted it. One of our ladies, I'm not going to name her name, although I know she can't watch live streams. She has no clue about technology. She would go to a hairdresser, which happened to be related to us, and she would say, and sit down, and they would small talk, and then she would say, I'm not one to gossip, but this is what I've heard. What was interesting about those ladies in our church, where they were members in other churches, they're all a part of the garden club. So not only did they love gossiping, they loved gardening. And so several people in our community said, I don't want to join your church because there's ladies in that garden club that gossip in your church. And I said, okay, that's fine, but good luck finding a church they don't gossip in. They're everywhere. And when they had enough talking about other people, they began to talk about themselves. So right before we moved here about 2 years ago, there was a split in the garden club. And they formed a new garden club. And you don't talk about the new garden club, don't talk about the old garden club. What was the problem? The problem is they couldn't guard their mouth. And that's something that age doesn't help with, by the way, folks. You got to guard your mouth at all times, not just vocally, but digitally, electronically. Watch what we put on the internet, watch what we say about others, because it has an interesting way of finding its way back to us. You want to know if you're going the right direction as a believer? Let's look at what you're saying, how you're communicating. Ephesians chapter 4, a fantastic verse. I know it more from the King James translation, but this will be in the ESV. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up or edifying, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. How can we go the right direction in our purpose in life? Well, first, guard your mouth. Let's go back to verse 11 to find our second one. Verse 11 says, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. The second indicator you're on the right track, you're going the right direction, is to turn away from evil and do good. Turn away from evil and do good. You say, Pastor, we all know this. We're Christians. We're supposed to do good. It's a good reminder you're going the right direction, though. Turn away from evil and do good. So concerning evil, you avoid it. If there's something malicious going on, you go the other way. If something comes on your screen or your phone, you turn it off. You get away from it. You don't subscribe to it. You don't participate in it. You don't take part in it. No matter what, you don't need evil in your life. You say, well, what should I do? I'm glad you asked. You turn away from it. It's almost the same terminology as repent. You turn the other way. You go in a different direction. Proverbs chapter 3 gives a great instruction concerning this. We talk about verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean on. But verses 7 and 8, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Not only is it turning away from evil, it's also about doing good. So it's not just shun and get away from what is wrong, but it's also doing what is right. So to do good, you need to give, you need to serve, you need to love, you need to share. You do everything that would honor and represent Christ in your life, because that's who we are. We're representatives, we're ambassadors of Christ, and all of your actions show the measure of his worth to us. So not just turning from evil, but it's also doing good. It's almost the idea of surrender, to get away from one side to join another. I try to follow the issue of the conflict in Russia and Ukraine. Really, it's in the Ukraine. I ran across a story a few months ago, and I saved it. I wanted to share it to you. All this was videoed, so there's evidence of this. There's a Russian soldier who was on the front line, and he surrendered to a drone. The Ukraine forces are known for drones. This drone followed him to the front lines. And the commander of that division said this about this Russian soldier. When he realized that he was going to die, he threw his machine gun aside, raised his hands, and said that he would not continue to fight. Because at that time, they had a copter with explosives ready to eliminate him. But the enemy threw down his weapon and gestured that he was going to surrender. They gave him then an order to follow them, follow this drone to safety, and he could be safe. Now, as he was going, he almost got hit by a mortar. But when he arrived on the Ukrainian position, the soldier dropped to his knees, removed his helmet and his flak jacket, and said that he would no longer take up arms. He would no longer participate in what the enemy had done. Now, understand the context of that. He was drafted against his will to participate, but then he shunned evil to change sides. The indicator of us, one of the markers we're on the right track in life, is us turning away from evil and participating in what is good. Back in 1 Peter chapter 3, let's go back to verse 11. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. The third indicator, the third marker, the third sign you're on the right track, you're going the right direction, is to seek peace and pursue it. To seek out, to go after peace. Peace means a calmness, a tranquility. It means a lack of conflict and something that's going on. And that's what we strive for. We strive for peace. We don't need drama. Any amens to that? If you want to watch drama, watch Dance Moms on TLC. And I say that because that's our weekly drama, Dance Moms. Seek peace. In fact, that's what Christ said in Matthew chapter 5 concerning peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Man, it's the peace we strive for. We don't need drama. We don't need conflict. We want tranquility. This last week, we had storms go through our area here. We had, as we traveled through storms. On the beach, we had a storm come through. It's not enjoyable to be in conflict when things are going on around you. But after that storm passes through, and even here, even this weekend, there's that peace, that tranquil feeling after it's passed. All the other elements have died down, and there's a freedom from conflict. That's called peace. Now, sometimes we don't see that before the storm, but we certainly see it after the storm. We want peace in our life. We want to be peacemakers. That's what God wants for us. We want peace in our church. We want peace in our community. And in the Christian faith, we always strive for peace. We avoid other issues of conflict. Those are three indicators you're on the right track. You're going the right direction. But verse 12, chapter 3, back in 1 Peter, there's three encouragements I want to give you to keep you going in the right direction. Chapter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let me give you three encouragements from this verse. The first, point A, the Lord sees the righteous. So on your journey of faith, here's a source of encouragement for you. The Lord sees you. The Lord knows you. He knows what you're going through. You say, well, if he knew what I was dealing with at work, he knows. He sees what you're facing. He knows the problems in your relationship. Understand the context of 1 Peter 3 and also Psalm 34. That's about the goodness of God even in the midst of suffering. Even while we have hardships, God is still good to us, and he delivers us. He knows what you're going through. One of the verses I memorized a few weeks ago, Psalm 33:18, about what we're going through, how the Lord sees us. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. No matter what you're going through, God knows, he sees it. In fact, he is with you in the process. It's a helpful reminder that the Lord sees you. The Lord sees his children. The Lord knows his children. The second encouragement from chapter 3, verse 12, is the Lord hears your prayers. The Lord hears your prayers. Whenever you cry out to God, he hears every word. He understands every emotion. There's nothing hidden that he can't find. And sometimes when we ask for something, he knows, that's not really what you want, and here's what I'm going to give you. I know your prayers better than you do. In fact, before you even cry out to me, I know what you need. A great source of encouragement for us, the Lord hears our prayers. Now, sometimes people say, Pastor, sometimes I feel like I'm praying and my prayers don't transcend the ceiling. They just fall flat. And that's not true. Now, we may feel distant from God in seasons of our life, but God, this is a promise, he hears everything you direct to him. And there are certain times in your life on this journey of faith where there's heightened moments of prayer. Sometimes the situations, the issues of life are going to cause you to pray more, and he hears everything. One of the favorite things this week we did at the beach was snorkel. We love to find worthless objects and bring them across the country back to our home and put them on a prominent display, and they're worth absolutely nothing. One morning, my son, my oldest, Abram, and I were out snorkeling, and we were deep. And a lady on a paddleboard paddles up to us, and she said, I just want you guys to know there's a couple sharks over here. And I said, that is good to know. And she said, it's okay, they're only 4 feet long. I was like, yeah, that makes it a lot better. Thank you. And so Abram and I said, well, let's go up to the beach, to the shoreline, and let's go work on our tans. You want to talk about issues in life that increase your prayer frequency, it's stuff like that. Now, I say that jokingly. There are times in your life when you're going to pray more than others. And God knows that. God knows what you're going through in life. If you want to love life and see good days, you need to pray. You need to spend time with him. You need to tell him what's on your heart. And know this, this is a promise. He hears everything you say to him. Sometimes you may not feel that way, but God's word says it is true. He hears everything. Let me give you the third encouragement. The Lord opposes evil. So he sees the righteous, he hears your prayers, but third, he opposes evil. In fact, it says his face is against the evil. He withstands the evil. He is staunchly against the evil. He gives no support to the evil. The problem we have, the problem I have, we ask ourselves, why are they so blessed then? It's because our understanding of blessing is not in the proper light. We think blessing is physical possessions and achievements and attainments, and those are not blessings. They got some stuff for a little while. They got some position or some rank for a season, but the promise of God's word says the Lord is against them. It's almost like the Lord has drawn a line and said, if you're with me, you're on this side, you're righteous, you're blessed, I hear you, I'm with you, but if you're over there, I'm against you. Let me back up and read from Psalm 34. Sorry about that. They're talking about hearing your prayers, talking about being with the Lord. This is what it says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Listen to this great truth. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. We have the unique relationship with God that that is so. That is a truth. But if you don't side with God, you oppose God. And he withstands you. He opposes you. His face is against you. They're not really blessed. They have momentary possessions, momentary achievements, whatever. They will not go unpunished. There's coming a day when they will give account, just like all of us, for the things we've done in this body. And they'll be asked the question, what have you done with Jesus Christ? So, Proverbs chapter 24, speaking about the evil, how should we view them? The scripture tells us, fret not. We say, don't worry. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. And do not be envious of the wicked. For the evil man has no future. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. Don't worry about them. The Lord will take care of it. Sometimes the rain falls on the unjust. Sometimes they have things. Sometimes they have more in abundance. For whatever reason, God has given them that. And that's not up for us to talk about. But know this, the Lord opposes evil. Are you on the right track? Are you going the right direction? Those are questions I asked going to and coming from our vacation. Are we going the right direction? When do I need to turn? At what time am I going to be at home to sleep in my own bed? And then you see the time on your phone that says, this is the estimated time of arrival. And I say, babe, we can beat that. If we just go a little bit over the speed limit, which I'm not promoting, by the way. But man, I want to be going the right direction. I want to go to the correct destination. I want to go the right way. I want to do it the right way. Let me ask you, are you on the right track? Are you living differently? What's the trajectory? What's the direction of your life? What's your purpose? I mean, who doesn't want to love life and see good days? But we got to do it the way the Lord tells us to. That's where the true blessings are. Not about how much we get, but about who we know and how well we know him. Let me remind you, this is all about the Christian on the road of suffering. Even Psalm 34, the hymn, modern hymn we sing, it's all about undergoing hardship, but knowing God even more. Maybe someone in here or someone listening online has never trusted in Jesus Christ. That's how you start on the right path. It's the journey of faith. All you have to do to be right with God is believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and God raised him from the dead on the third day. If you believe that great promise, you'll be saved. There's other decisions after that that help you on the path of being a public witness through baptism, being a part of a church as a member. Maybe there's something going on in your life that you just need a reminder to stay on track. Maybe in some aspect of your life, you've drifted. You're kind of off track. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to repent and renew your relationship. Renew your strength. It's that easy. Or maybe in the course of this message, God has brought to mind someone you know that's off track, that's not going the right direction. They're a believer, but they've backslidden or they dropped out of church. They're not living how they should. If that is so, you need to pray for them. I mean, just in a moment ahead of us, just pray for that person. And then what I'll ask you to do is not only pray for them, but reach out to them this week and let them know you're praying for them, that you'll do whatever you can to help them in their walk, to get them back in the right direction. In fact, if you want to pray with me, I'll be down front. I want to pray with you. I want to encourage you. Let's do it together. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, thank you for the encouragement we have in your word. Lord, help us stay in the right path, facing the right direction, pursuing you. Lord, I don't want to diminish the suffering we go through, the hardships. But Lord, through the thick and thin, you're there. You're near to the brokenhearted. You hear our cries of help, and you deliver. Father, for those that need to make decisions of the faith, may they do that. Father, for those that need to renew their relationship with you, to get the fuel that comes from your Holy Spirit, may they find that now. Father, for those not here, for those listening online, may they connect with you. May they reach out to those that can help. Father, we ask your blessing on us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.